gifted vessels working in the nursery because they are called to be custodians of destiny. So you need anointed people. Anointed people. How do you minister to infants in the nursery? You bring the presence of the Holy Spirit into that nursery. Where there's been pandemonium and kids crying and screaming and all this, you bring in, they have spirits, and their spirits can be sensitive to the Spirit of God. You read the Word of God over them. You sing the songs of Zion over them. You pray over them. You say, but they don't understand. Ah, they may not with their mind, but with their spirit they will. See? I mean, my dad got saved in his sleep. So, you know, there you go. He was Jewish. He raised his hands up in the middle of the night, cried out, Jesus, my Messiah, when he was in his 70s. We've been praying for him to know the Lord. So it's the spirit that needs to be touched. Now, listen. This is where I want to finish. The child grew. This is Luke 2:40. Became strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. That was the 12-year-old boy. He grew, became strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Now, I told you a little while ago that children are foolish in the natural, but in the spirit, you can be filled with wisdom. That's one of the gifts of this. That's one of the gifts of the Spirit. Wisdom, right? If anyone lack wisdom, let him ask of God. The wisdom of God. A child can stand up and speak with the wisdom of God and give a prophecy or a word from the Lord, and then go off and play after a while and become just like a child again. Bible says a little child shall lead them. And children are for signs and miracles. Whoa! Isn't that exciting? Hey! I can do miracles. I mean, I've had children praying for the sick. And the last two places, I was in Wilmington just a few months ago, and we had two deaf people come up. They were both, you know, the husband and wife. They were certified deaf. They were deaf. They and the children prayed for them, and the man started to hear. And then he signaled to his wife, and she came up, and they prayed for her, and God opened her ears. And she was so confused, she didn't know what to do. You know, it was amazing. I got a youth pastor that came and from Myrtle Beach, from the church in Myrtle Beach. He came with his two boys, and he was blown away. He said, I've never seen anything like that. He said, it was just, he said, you just sat there and just watched. So you just told the kids to do it, and you didn't do anything. I said, no, I don't. I don't go lay hands on people and pray for everybody. I said, why would you do that? See, this is the thing. If someone comes in to your church, and they, I've got the anointing, hallelujah, now come and be filled with the Holy Ghost, or get delivered, or I pray for you for the anointing, the anointing. There's the anointed hand, you see, look at it, shaking under the anointing. I just train children and get a bunch of them, then let them pray for people. Now, imagine this. I'm lazy, I don't like to work too hard. I don't want to die of a heart attack when I reach the age of 40, because I'm only 39 right now. where was I? Yeah. What I'll do is I'll get about 20 or 30 kids and I'll pray for them, you see. And then I say, okay, now you're going to pray for the sick. And I'll have them come up. So instead of having one that the man of God anointed hands upon them, or the woman of God anointed hands on me, I have all these sticky fingers going out on people, and 20 people are getting prayed for all at the same time, and the people get healed, and people get to go home at a reasonable time instead of 3 o'clock in the morning, and who gets the glory? God gets the glory. Yes, now you've got it. God gets the glory. So there you go. So isn't that interesting? All right. Before I go and just pray, I just want to tell you about some of the materials that I have. Their table is good, full of some really, really good stuff. I mean, if I had the money, I'd buy them all myself. Now, the one of the most popular things are the illustrated Bible study books. They are most popular. We've had people like, for example, there's a book called Being a Christian. Now, let me hands up, young people. How many young people here are trying to be a Christian? Let me see your hands. Okay, put your hands up, so I can see. How many of you are trying to be a Christian? Okay, all right. How many of you girls here are trying to be a girl? How many boys here are trying to be a boy? Okay. So why are you trying to be a Christian? If you're trying to be a Christian, you don't understand what real Christianity is. You can't try to be what you already is. You either is or you ain't. And that's the whole point of being a Christian. You see, the book explains. You'd be amazed how we do not teach our young people really good, sound doctrine. They don't really comprehend it. So many. Now, let me ask you adults here. How many of you adults keep the commandments? How many of you try to keep the commandments? Here we go again. They fall into the same trap as you fall into, because where does the Bible say thou shalt try to love the Lord thy God? Thou shalt try not to steal. Thou shalt try not to kill. Thou shalt try not to commit adultery. Thou shalt try not to do this. Trying is very trying. It never works. When people say, I'm trying to give up smoking, you know they're never going to do it. I'll try to come to your church next week. They won't show up. Trying never works. So why are you trying to keep the commandments? You can't. Do you think they were given for you to be able to keep them? They were given to show you your inability and your impotency, that you are unable to keep them. So you might what? Try harder? No. Give up. Give up? Yeah. And fly to Christ, who is the end of the Lord to them that believe. Because he is the one that kept the commandments for us because we couldn't keep them. So you get into him and he gets into you, and then you become a new creation. And you're not striving and struggling anymore. You're resting in God, like you said. You have ceased from your own works and you're resting in him. Now, that doesn't mean that you can't step out of the spirit and fall back into that mess. But what you do is you just get back in the spirit again. You may get your feet dirty and you may have to have your feet washed, but you don't need to be born again over and over again. You don't have to keep, you know, going through the whole thing over and over again. But you see, if you walk in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the desires of the flesh. I thought you had to qualify to walk in the Spirit, you had to get victory over the flesh first. So you qualify to walk in the Spirit. So I'm trying, and I'm struggling, and I'm, you know, I wrote an article recently about young people, because young people are very inward. You know, when they get serious about God, they're very much looking at themselves. You know, they meditate on their own belly buttons all the time, you know, and they're taking their own spiritual pulse to see what their motivation is and what makes them tick, and they're trying to find their identity and all this kind of thing. So they become very inward. But the way to know God, the way to have victory, is to not look into yourself, but look into the face of him. And as we behold his face, we are transformed into the same image. And he changes us. He's in the changing business. God says, I change not, but I want you to change. And he changes us. We can't change ourselves. Soon as you give up, that's the first thing. I give up, Lord. And then let God take over. So anyway, that's why the book Being a Christian is 13 kids got saved for reading that book. Another church, they called me, 7 kids got saved reading that book. They thought they were Christians. Adults have read that book and thought they were Christians, got saved. I mean, they give them out to adults. Those books, those Bible study books, illustrated Bible study books with questions and answers, even though they're done in a cartoon style, because they're done for young people, youngsters, but they're also good for adults and parents and even teenagers, because they're so meaty and they're so right on. You've got Being a Christian, Fact or Fantasy. How about Fact or Fantasy? When you go on to college, let me give you an example. You're going to go to college one day, hopefully, and you're going to meet people. You're going to maybe a professor in college who's not a Christian, and someone's going to say to you, you're going to meet atheists and all kinds of people, and they're going to say, are you a Christian? You go, uh-huh. Oh, you believe the Bible is true? Yes. How do you know it's true? What are you going to say? Because my mum told me? Because my pastor said so? How are you going to prove it to them? They're going to say, you've been brainwashed. You've been brainwashed. You've been brainwashed. You see, that's why 80% of the kids were losing them, because they might have an emotional experience of God, but intellectually they can't comprehend, and they get all this stuff thrown at them. And that's why the book Fact or Fantasy is about how to prove. It's a Christian apologetic, specially designed for young people. Well, no one ever did. When I tried to do that book, the devil came all after me. You can't do that. You can't do that. You can't do that. But I did it. It's the only book I know that's out there for children on Christian apologetics. It's not apologizing for being a Christian, by the way. It means that the facts, you know, how do we know that Jesus was the Son of God? How do we know he rose from the dead? What about other religions? What about evolution? What about creation? What about all this other stuff? It's all in there, especially for youngsters to understand. So they are prepared when they go on to college and meet those things. And all the other ones, you know, there's the fruit of the Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit, the baptism and the gifts, it's all in there. A prayer manual, how to become a prayer warrior, and how to pray and see miracles happen in your life. This is all instructions for kids to begin to walk in the destiny that God's called them to do. See, most churches don't disciple. They don't. They have a Sunday message. You don't disciple people by Sunday message. When I became a Christian as an evangelical, I was discipled, believe you me. First thing that happened to me was they said to me, I accepted the Lord. They said, now that you've accepted the Lord, what are you going to do? I said, well, I don't know. He said, well, we'll see you on church on Sunday. Okay, I said, that's fine. Sunday morning. He said, and Sunday evening. I said, Sunday evening as well? They said, yeah. Well, Sunday night, I used to go out dancing looking for girls, you know. And they said, have you got something better to do on a Sunday evening to be in the Lord, house of the Lord? I said, I didn't say, yeah, chasing girls around the dance floor. I said, no, no. So they said, good, we'll see you on Sunday. And then he said, and you will come to our beginner's class on Thursday. And this is our beginner's class. And here are 4 verses of scripture that you are to learn, beginning with Christ. So I did that, and 6 weeks in that. And then halfway through, they gave me another 8 verses, going on with Christ. I had to learn all those verses of scripture. After 8 weeks, I'd gone through, or 6 weeks, 6 or 8 weeks of the beginner's class. They then said to me, right, now that you've gone this far, this is what we have for you. This is John. He's going to be your follow-up. He's going to take care of you. You're going to see him every week with any problems you have. Here's 120 verses for you to learn. Read all the Gospels. They would tell me to read that anyway. They gave me Macintosh notes on Genesis to read. They said, you will come to our Tuesday night prayer meeting and our Wednesday night Bible study. It was bi-weekly. And then you would come to Sunday morning, Sunday evening, and you would tithe 10% of your income to the work of the Lord. Any questions? I didn't know that wasn't normal. I thought it was. I didn't know Protestant churches. I was a Catholic boy. I'd come from a Catholic background. I didn't know they did do that. So I just, that was it. I thought that was normal. And we weren't even baptized in the Spirit. It was 10 years later before I got the baptism. But I was discipled. That's where the word discipline comes from. Discipline. It's not a punishment. I'm going to discipline you. If I say I'm going to discipline you, that's not means I'm going to punish you. It means you are worthy to be trained. Amen. To become a warrior and a champion and a woman of God. See? That's what discipline is. We are to make disciples, not Sunday morning churchgoers. So there you go. Jesus didn't come and say, I've come that you might be a Sunday morning churchgoer. He said, I've come that you might have life and that more abundantly. So, the life of the Spirit. So anyway, those books. And then I've got Kids in Combat, which was the first one of the first books I wrote. Training children and youth to be powerful for God. Children and youth and young, you know, teenagers. Equipping the Younger Saints is another one which is good on that kind of thing. And Radical Living in a Godless Society is a little booklet here. Got a few copies of those. That is a powerful, powerful book. Freak people out, that one will, that little booklet. Got some children's fantasy books about my grandsons, because I'm an author. I've written 17 books, I think, now. And these are my grandsons. I wrote stories about them, their adventures. My granddaughter, they're kind of fun and very, very funny. They got Christian principles. Then the Living in Revival. This is when we came into revival. This is an amazing story of our account of revival back in the 70s. Started in our house and it spread through the country. And we went in the schools and colleges. And hundreds and thousands of kids got saved. Teachers got saved and filled with the Spirit. And then the Anointing in You, Understanding Revival. Trying to understand that. They said that was a classic book when I wrote that. It's one of the best books I've written. And so you think you're a worshiper. This is all about worship. When I was pastoring a church, we had worship that would last 3 hours. In our church, and then I began to realize we were worshiping worship rather than worshiping the Lord. But and then there's some CDs. So there's a good little bit of, not a lot of stuff there, but there's a good selection. So, you know, invest in it. It's worth it. But don't get those books if you're not going to read them. Don't get the CDs if you're not going to listen to them. There's no point. It's better that, I mean, I want them to be used. But if you take a set of those Bible study books, they will last a year. If you did it once a week, it would last you just about a year to do one study a week with your children. And you can do it as a family. Or you can do it as a church, you know. Anyway, invest in your children. Amen. All right, what I'd like to do is, I would like to pray a blessing on the young people and then pray a blessing on the parents. Is that all right? Yeah? Okay. Come on out and we'll see what God will do. Amen? Let's have the young people out. Children, there's no age in the Spirit room, but there's children. And let's get the kids out first. You're not the church of tomorrow. You're the church of today and the leaders of tomorrow. Let's have the big ones behind, the little ones in front. Little ones in the front, the smaller ones in the front, and the bigger ones behind. Yeah, come across this way a bit more. Okay, so we got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15. Okay. I mean, I could go on and on and tell you all kinds of amazing stories, but you know, you'd be here all day and it would take too long. So I've only told you just a bit to whet your appetite, I hope. Okay, awesome. Thank you, Lord. So who's the eldest? Yeah. Who's the eldest? Are you the eldest? Yeah, okay. Now, what I want to do first, before we pray for you, I want to take up an offering. But this is not a money offering. It's a gum offering. Give me something to put your gum in. Some piece of paper. The gum. Gum offering. There's no gum in heaven. Hang on. He's bringing it. There is no gum in heaven. There's no gum in Singapore. It's the streets of Singapore doesn't allow you can't buy gum in Singapore. Do you know that? Is she got gum or is it candy? Okay, just that's all right. Just let her keep that. I tell you that one of the reasons that I do this, because I remember, I think it was Bishop Hammond. Have you ever heard of Christian International? I used to, you know, speak at some of his meetings over the years, and they did a drama one time, and they had these teenagers do this dance, and it was like a crucifixion. And then they got on the cross, like, and they were like this, crucified, and while they were crucified, they were going. Just put it off for me, you know, it's like, please. Eat, drink, chew gum, don't worry. He's got relieved. Yeah. All right, thank you, Lord. You know, we ask God to come down sometimes, but he's already here. And you know this place isn't a church, don't you? You're the church. You know that, right? This is just a facility, right? Yeah. You are the church. And you remember in the days of Noah, when the floods came, it said the windows of heaven opened and the flood came out of the sky. At the same time, it said the fountains of the deep broke up, and out of the belly of the earth came water. Remember that? So when you stand in his presence, you're waiting for the heavens to open up to the fresh anointing of God's Spirit to come upon you. But at the same time, out of your belly, and your belly comes living water, the anointing. Now, let me say something about the belly. It is the belly. Out of your belly. Why does it say out of your belly shall come living water, power, anointing? Because the belly is the center of your being. In other words, when you say someone has no guts, what does that mean? He's got no guts. He doesn't have the stomach for it. It means he's full of fear, right? He's no courage. That's right. They say a strong concept. See, your anointing comes from her, there, out of your belly. How many of you ever have butterflies in your stomach when you've been nervous? Come on, come on. See, that's the part. You see, you get it all in here. That's why the anointing says, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. And that gives you a supernatural power and supernatural strength that you wouldn't normally have, because it doesn't come from the head. It comes from the belly, the anointing. You understand that? Okay, so let's pray. Hold your hands out. Pray for blessing. What's your name? Jeremiah. Whoa. I pray for Jeremiah, blessing upon Jeremiah, for the anointing to come on him, and out of his belly will flow a river
a river. A river. Bless him, Lord. Bless his socks off, Lord. Bless him. Bless him. You know how to receive? Do you know how to receive God's blessing? Well, it's not just falling down. It can be falling down. But you know how to hold your head up like that, right? So just close your eyes. Just say, thank you, Lord. I'm receiving your anointing. Take away all fear, all worry, all wimpiness, so I can be strong and encouraged and powerful for your glory, Jesus. Amen. 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 Now receive it. Yeah. Take a deep breath. You ready? Okay, hold your hands up. Just let me just pray for you. Pray this prayer with me, all right? Say, Lord Jesus, I thank you for the revelation that I heard today. Don't let it go in one ear and out of the other, but let it drop into my spirit. Fill me with your power, your boldness. Turn me into what you want me to be. Because I'm a warrior in your army. I'm willing to go to boot camp, to be trained, to be discipled, to fulfill my divine destiny. I don't want to walk around in a fog, not knowing what I'm doing. I don't want to be one of those kids that's whatever, just pulled this way or that way. You haven't called me to be a party animal. You called me to be a instrument in your hands, a child of God, a prince, a princess, royal blood flowing through my veins in Jesus' name. I receive that, Lord. I receive my inheritance. I receive my blessing. I receive my prosperity. I receive my health. I receive my vigor and boldness and energy. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Now take a deep breath. Now begin to pray in tongues. Come on. You know how to do that? See la 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 bandai. Ah, I asked the pastor if everybody prayed in tongues. He says, oh yeah, they all pray in tongues. Who's never prayed in tongues before? Oh, my goodness. Oh, I can't do it today. Oh, my goodness. I was going to preach a message about tongues, but I listened to what you said. How many here have never prayed in tongues before, sitting in the congregation? Anybody never prayed in tongues? Okay, you've got quite a few. Quite a few. Why not? I don't know how, right? You go, listen, you can't go to Bible college and take a tongue-talking course. That's not the way you do it. But I don't have time to tell you all that today. I'll have to come back. I'll have to come back. Yeah. So anyway, that's part of your inheritance. Listen, there are nine fruits of the Spirit, and there are nine gifts of the Spirit. The nine fruits is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and self-control. The nine gifts of the Spirit are three to make you talk like God, three to make you think like God, and three to make you act like God. The three to make you think like God is the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, and the discerning of spirits. The three to make you talk like God is prophecies, tongues, and interpretation of tongues. The three to make you act like God is miracles, healing, and faith, miracles, and healing. You have to have all those. Nine fruits, nine gifts. An eagle has nine major feathers on each wing. You take one of those feathers off, it can't fly. And you're called to be eagles, not chickens. Yep. Okay. Stand up, everybody. Just hold your hands out. Just receive this blessing in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. If there's anything in your life you need to get free from, you can get free from it right now. If you've got hurts, let them go. If you've been hurt and you've got bitterness against anybody or against churches or against people that have done bad to you or friends that have been, you know, they've disappointed you or someone's controlled your life, you need to get free from that right now. So let's pray this prayer of repentance to get free. Lord Jesus, I repent of any hurts, bitterness that I hold in my heart right now against anybody or anything. And I ask you right now to set me free from that in Jesus' name, because I am a VIP, a very special person, because I'm one of your kids. So just heal me right now, Lord, in Jesus' name. Now remember, if you have bitterness, if you've had bitterness, that can cause all kinds of problems in your body, arthritis and all kinds of things. So, you know, when I was in Russia recently, we had loads of people that got healed from arthritis just instantly because they forgave people that they were bitter against. Say, I forgive those that have offended me right now in my heart. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Okay. Hallelujah. So remember, these children are precious, and they're very special, and don't lose them to the devil, right? Because he is after them.
Hallelujah. Let's give him a hand clap right now. All right, children, just to understand here, you got just filled, open your mouth. Wildly, like I'm getting ready to pour something inside of you. Just think of that wonderful drink you're about to drink. Okay, you ready? One, two, three. Now swallow. It's a part of you. It's a part of you now. Amen. That's it. It's a part of you. Now I'm glad he taught you guys to understand that it's about you, and it's not just about the old folks. Okay? You understand? What we do because we love God and we trust him to protect you. But we as parents have a responsibility to train them up, to teach them. I'm so glad you said what you said. It's not the church's responsibility to train them up. You don't come drop them off in a daycare. They're in a daycare here, right? They're here to learn. They're here to get imparted to, and you're here to get imparted to and to learn as well. So it's our responsibility that when the food is prepared, that you eat. You're not going to have your food been prepared and seasoned to the right perfection and the house smelling nice and good and making you all hungry, come to the table and say, I'm okay. I appreciate all your hard work, but thank you. No, it's time for you to eat. Let it become part of you, and that's what you guys did. You're letting this become part of you. Amen? It's not strange when you may be in the shower one day and all of a sudden and you want to just try it. Try it. What is that trying? Trying to let the Spirit speak through you. And what happens is we let our thinking right here, our noggin, everybody go like this. Go on your head like that. That little thing right there called the noggin. That noggin sometimes gets in the way. Don't think about it. Just do. Just do. Amen. It goes for you adults in here as well. Yeah. Don't overthink it. Overanalyze. Well, I don't know if it's for the church. That was back then. No, it's not. It's for you. It's for you. And there's many different variations of speaking in tongues that you can learn about. But the first thing is you got to want it. If you don't want it, you're not going to get it. Unless he wants to just come upon you. Because your heart's been crying out and you just not speaking. It's going to happen. It'll happen. But I appreciate you guys. I appreciate all of you. You've done a wonderful job in the service. I thank you. Love you guys. You may be seated with folks. You may be seated, okay? Thank you guys. All right, what I want you to do is Mr. Walters has come in and he has his product table here on the left of the sanctuary, my right. Make sure that you see that and go and make sure you make a deposit. But what I also want you to do is to be obedient to God. And I want to give an offering to Mr. Walters for depositing here. He has said so much and confirmed so much, has he not? The foolish things, training up, so much as you confirmed for months of what's been spoken here. So much. So I so appreciate when God speaks and we're really listening. Because if you listen, you'll hear what the Spirit of God is saying to the church. So I really appreciate it. I thank them. As they hand out the envelopes, if you're writing a check, write it out to David Walters. If you, good news, write it out to good news. Good news, amen. But be obedient to God in your giving. Be obedient to God. Obedience is what opens up doors for you. Amen. As Josh is playing, I want you to go ahead and prepare the envelopes. And I have a real quick announcement. Just remember, on Wednesday before Thanksgiving, we will not be here. You will be with your family. And you will be with your family to experience Thanksgiving for His goodness. Amen. I know many are going out of town and many are preparing the wonderful food for Thanksgiving. But remember, it's more than the turkey. The turkey sacrifice that day, yes, but there was a greater sacrifice that you have your freedom. Amen. So you want to give thanks and give thanks for what He's already done for you and what He's about to do. Amen. So we appreciate your ministry, sir. We thank you very much, and we do want you to come back. We have that schedule. Miss Beverly, if I could please, just if you could stand. As he was ministering, I just kept looking over at you, and I kept seeing just a wind that's just kind of going real fast around you. It's like you've been in a whirlwind of things happening so fast. Where is my next step going to be? Because I'm afraid if I step, I'm just going to miss it because it's going so fast right now. Can you just help me to understand? And I hear the Spirit of God tell me to tell you just wonderful spirit, and because you're open, so much more is coming in the area that you're asking of understanding. There's more that's coming, and if I could tell you this, get your bags ready. When you come home, you're going to think you're going to come to rest, and you're getting right back on and going again. And then when you're about to leave, I see this is what's happening. You're pulling your luggage right out of the hotel room, and where am I today? What country am I in? What city am I in? But as you begin to speak, I hear the Spirit of God said that He is going to show up in your hotel room and begin to lay with you and speak the sweet things that you need to hear. Because of your obedience and your sacrifice that is being made. They're watching you. They're watching you. And many will rise up to be at her side. And you've prayed that there would be others that would take her everywhere she goes, that will watch her and really care for her, and that she won't have to work hard at it. It'll just come. Continue praying for her and praying for the ministry, because there's such a change that is coming. It will be not just only international. She knows international. You know international. But I see, thank you, Jesus. There's a new development that is taking place that is about to be displayed, not just in the arena of those that you both know, Mr. Walters, but there's a boundary that is about to be crossed that is about to bring those that have been caught up in doing things the way they want to do in the mainstream, that now they're going to be seeking for more. They're stepping out of, thank you, Jesus, stepping out of the intellect and stepping into the realm of the Spirit. And they need ambassadors like the both of you to release and deposit in the atmosphere that will begin to make a change, not just overseas, but here in America. That they'll have such a strong desire for the intimacy of God, where you begin to walk through, you begin to have the leaders begin to weep. They will begin to weep because there'll be such a strong conviction that will come because of the passion that you have for Him. And that they'll want that passion. Continue praying, beloved. Continue praying. Because crossing over and bringing such a change to the body that it's a blessing. So just keep your bags packed. You're a blessing. You're a blessing. You're a blessing. Hallelujah. Thank you for your obedience, guys. Thank you for your obedience. Thank you for staying. As you sow, I want you to just say release. Release. As you're releasing out of your hands, God's releasing what's in his hands for you. Amen. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for their obedience. But we thank you for the heart, Lord, that's connected to the obedience, Lord, that is connected to the Spirit of the living God. And I thank you, Lord, as they hear, Father God, the Holy Spirit speak, they do, they obey. And Father, through their obedience, Lord, I thank you that the sacrifice is well received. In Jesus' mighty name, we thank you that it's blessed a hundredfold return back into their lives. And whatever money cannot buy, you, through the supernatural powers of the Holy Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, shall raise your circumstance, Father God, and bring an end to some things that have caused lack, disbelief, and a loss of hope. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for supernatural breakthrough and supernatural manifestation in their lives. In Jesus' mighty name, and all of God's children said, amen. You may come and serve the Lord as a love offering unto Mr. Walters. We thank you. Thank you.